Well, I wonder what the first things that come to mind are when you think of the word good. What are some things in life that are good? I want you to think of one word, rapid fire answers, okay? I asked some people around me while you're thinking this week, what were some things in life that were good? They said chocolate, coffee, family, sunshine, days at the beach, and connection. Some good answers. Anyone got any other ones? Health.
Holidays.
Holidays, yep. Love, yep.
Changes.
Changes, yep. Any other things that are good?
Cake.
Cake is definitely good. Well, I turned to the internet to see what might come up when I put in what was good, and I got some funny answers. Putting on clothes that just came out of the dryer. Seeing old people who are super in love. Hearing a song you used to love and had completely forgotten about. The way old books smell, or new books, I think, as well. Getting a little more deep. What about giving someone hope when they're in the depths of despair? Access to healthcare that we have in this country. Speaking up for those who are oppressed and have no voice. Or maybe seeing the potential in everyone and inviting everyone to have a seat at the table. These are things that are good. For me, this week, I had a great experience of goodness. You may have heard that Coldplay, the band, are touring. They've been at the big stadium, Stadium Australia in Homebush this week. If you don't know who Coldplay are, look them up. Greatest band of this generation, I think. Incredible music. But it doesn't matter. You can picture whatever band you want to picture. A stadium with 80,000 people in it, singing the same songs, dancing to the same music. There's something unifying. There's something good about that experience. And what I loved about this concert was that showed me some goodness in the world is their concern for the environment. Their generators are powered by clean energy. They're actually powered by recycled cooking oil, so used cooking oil that goes back to power the generators. In the concert, there was a row of bicycles on the floor. Now, I said in the 9:30 and people laughed at me that I'm too old to sit on the floor at a concert anymore. I've got to sit in the stands, so got to have a seat, right? But for those young ones that were down on the floor, there was a row of bicycles. And these bicycles were stationary and the wheels still moved. And what they do is the energy that's generated from someone riding the bike goes back in and is collected, and it was used to power the shows that were coming up. Pretty incredible, right? There was two little stages on the dance floor, and I don't know the science behind this, but it uses kinetic energy, so they were asking people to jump and to dance on these stages, collects the kinetic energy, and it's put back into the show. The ticket sales contributed to conservation. There were songs in the concert about prayer, a higher power, about humanity coming together. Nothing really to do with Christianity, but this definite sense of spirituality. And so I thought to myself after that concert, and I want us to consider some of these questions as well when we think about goodness in the world. Some questions we might consider are, is that good or is that God? Can there be good without God? Is God in everything that is good? Is God in and through all things? Some interesting questions for us. We might also add to that list, well, is God in the bad? Is God in the hard? Is God in the unsettling? This series that we're starting today is based on the Salvation Army's newer line of branding called Believe in Good. And amongst some people, this has caused quite a stir. Some people have suggested that perhaps the Salvation Army is toning down our spirituality in order to meet the market of the world so that we might fit in a little better. Believe in good, believe in God. Which one are we believing in? Well, I want to read the tagline, the explanation for some of this. The Salvation Army in Australia says the new brand expression is based on the premise of how our faith translates into action. As Christians and Salvationists, we believe in good because we believe in the love and goodness of God. What the Bible does say is that no one is good but God. Christians, often teased as do-gooders, are still biblically called to do good. The culmination of God's goodness is the timeless gift of Jesus, who transforms the lives of those who believe in him and who then carry the goodness of God to others. The phrase believe in good also gives ample scope to talk about the fact that we are not good in ourselves, but only made good, right, through the sacrifice of our good God in Jesus Christ. Believe in good. Well, we sing, don't we, of a God that is good. That verse from Psalms that says that God is good, his mercy endures forever. We sing of the goodness of God. These words are often interchanged, aren't they? We often hear God being described as good. So I think perhaps we have not so much to be afraid of in this statement if we believe that God is in and through all things. Loretta, your story that you shared this morning, perhaps doctors are not Christians, don't appreciate our spirituality and our world, and yet, is it good? Is it God working through a solution in the medical sphere? Can God be present in that? Well, I would argue that he can. And so too would John Wesley. He often was known to talk about the verse from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6 that says we serve one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The Message paraphrase says one God and Father who rules over all, works through all and is present in all. We serve a big God. We serve a big God that is in and through all things. His goodness is in and through all things. In one of John Wesley's sermons, he says this about God being in and through everything. He says, but the greatest lesson which our blessed Lord inculcates, I've got a problem with that word, I can't say it, and which he illustrates by this example, is that God is in all things, and that we are to see the Creator in the glass of every creature, that we should use and look upon nothing as separate from God, which indeed is a kind of practical atheism, but with a true magnificence of thought, survey heaven and earth and all that is therein as contained by God in the hollow of his hand, who by his intimate presence holds them all in being, who pervades and actuates the whole created frame and is, in a true sense, the soul of the universe. See, what he's saying is nothing is separate from God. All of creation, every created being, human, the universe, our planet, all of it, God is in and through. God is at work in and through all of creation. We serve a big God, a good God that is in and through all things. This messaging is repeated throughout Scripture, and it's affirmed in the words of Jesus that Jeff read for us earlier, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary. This word good follows us throughout Scripture. And here he says, I'm the good shepherd. I wonder if anyone can recognize these images on the screen. Do we know who this is? This is Bluey. kids' cartoon, Australian cartoon, become very famous across the world. If you've had grandkids, maybe they watch it, or big kids as well. It's actually quite funny. It teaches great life lessons. We could perhaps do a whole sermon series on the lessons of Bluey. But this image in particular is from an episode called Sheepdog. And what happens in this episode is that Dad, he agrees to play sheepdog with Bluey and Bingo. They're the two little ones. And he agrees to do this, a game that they've been asking him over and over again to play. He agrees to do this because he's trying to give Mum a bit of peace and quiet. She says, "I just need 20 minutes where no one talks." And so Dad is determined to let Mum take a well-earned rest. But you know what? This game that the kids have been bugging Dad to play, where he pretends to be a sheep, which is quite hilarious because he's a dog, obviously, pretends to be a sheep, it's harder work than they expected. Dad, or the character Bandit, pretends to be a sheep. But you know what? The kids can't wrangle him. They can't control him. And the kids, not surprisingly, get over it and give up. And they end up leaving him for someone else to care for while he pretends to be a sheep. As they go away, Bluey says, "Don't worry, sheepy, we still love you. It's just hard work looking after you." See, Bluey and Bingo, they're not real shepherds. They're just kids pretending to be shepherds. They're quick to let go of their duties when it gets a little tough. And although shepherding can be hard work, the good shepherd doesn't leave. The good shepherd doesn't give up when the going gets tough. In fact, Scripture tells us that the good shepherd sacrifices himself for the sheep. The sheep truly matter to him. In verse 11 to 13, it says, "The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary." Goes on to tell us that a hired man is not a real shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to him. He sees a wolf come and runs for it, leaving the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He is only in it for the money. The sheep don't matter to him. See, it's obvious when we read about a hired hand and a wolf approaching, it's obvious what the wolf is going to do, right? The wolf is always out to get the sheep. But the hired hand, he should protect the sheep. That's what he's being paid to do as he works alongside the shepherd. But he is not the shepherd. And he doesn't care about the sheep over his own well-being. They don't belong to him. He doesn't know them like the shepherd does. So when a threat comes, he's not putting himself in front of the sheep. He abandons them and he allows the wolf to attack. But the good shepherd that we read about in Jesus is, well, good. And he would lay down his life for the sheep. And if you haven't caught on yet, we're the sheep. The good shepherd knows the sheep and they know him. They recognize his voice. In verse 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and my own sheep know me." See, Jesus describes the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, or between us and him, based on knowledge. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And this word in the original text in the Greek is the word ginosko. And what this word means is to know, to come to know, to get a knowledge of, to perceive, to feel. It is not just about information. It is about intimacy, love, loyalty, connection. It is mutual relationship between shepherd and sheep, much like parent and child. For Jesus, this meant putting his life on the line for the sheep. It's not just a, "I know of that person. Oh yeah, I know them." No, it's a deep knowledge. It's one where we would recognize the voice of the shepherd. We know him, we are known by him. And this is what the good shepherd comes to bring. Relationship with him. And then what does that result in? Well, the earlier verses say that it come that he comes to give life to the full. John 10:10 in the Message says, "A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." You might recognize it as this from the NIV: "I have come that they may have life and life to the full." See, Jesus' promise here in relationship with him is that we would walk in real and abundant life. And it was possible right then and there. In the preceding chapters, we read the story of the blind man who Jesus healed. And it wasn't just about healing of his physical ailment, but it was about a new relationship, a new community through that relationship. Jesus offered this abundance of life now, not just as a future promise. The Good Shepherd cares for us, knows us, loves us, and came to bring us into this life of goodness and flourishing with him. This week, as I often do, I was sitting in one of our conversation rooms, which are the rooms off our office, regularly used by our staff that work for Doorways and Money Care as they meet one-on-one with people. And I was sitting in one of these rooms and had this sermon on my mind, and I chuckled to myself as I sat there because we decorated these rooms a few months ago with some plants and some photos, things that made them seem a little more welcoming and a bit warmer in the space. And I looked over to one of the shelves and I saw this. It's going to come up on the screen if you're struggling to see. This was a gift that we gave out at a women's event a couple of years ago. And sticking with the theme, it's got a nice little card in there that says, "Flourish where you're planted." Except this plant isn't really flourishing, is it? Sort of dried up. In fact, when I had a closer look, the one stem that was in there, it's not even attached, so get rid of that. There's basically a few rocks and a few little stems in there. And I laughed to myself because this is not really what flourishing looks like, is it? And I think so often as Christians, as people that sometimes might get caught up on the rules and regulations of religion, we can get trapped in this little sort of withered and old plant. But actually, what Jesus is saying is that I came to bring life in its fullness, in its goodness. His intention for all of us was to flourish and to grow where we are planted for sure, but that we would continue to water that, to receive life in abundance. It's not to say that there's not going to be hardships. There's going to be seasons of life where things are difficult and awful and hard. But the Good Shepherd, he came to bring life in its fullness and abundance, which we can see when we are walking in relationship with the Good Shepherd, when we are known and when we know his voice. So we believe in a good God, right? A God who is in and through all things. And then we get to walk in relationship with the Good Shepherd. But then what about the call to do good? What does good look like for each one of us if we know and receive the love of the Good Shepherd? What does that translate to in our lives? I think sometimes we might overcomplicate it, but I think it's very simple. If we go all the way back to the Old Testament, one of my favourite verses from Micah 6, verse 8, what does good look like? Well, it says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Eugene Peterson puts it in a little more simple English for us in the Message paraphrase. He says, but he's already made it plain how to live and what to do, what God is looking for in people. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbour. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. This is what he is looking for in us. He has shown us what's good: to act justly, love mercy, walk humbly in relationship with him. And I think for so many of us, if we keep coming back to these three simple things, actually we will live out the goodness of God that we are called to live out of in the world. So this morning I'm going to invite Greg to come and join me, and we're going to spend a moment in reflection. And I want you to think about where you fit in these three things that we've talked about, our good God today. Perhaps you just need this realization or this openness to look for God at work, for God's goodness at work in and through all of creation. Maybe your prayer this morning needs to be that God would open up your eyes to where he was at work, and you would take time to acknowledge that, to be reminded of that. Perhaps for some of us, we need to be reminded that we walk with the Good Shepherd, one who knows us but wants to know and grow in relationship with us, who would go out of his way because of his love for us, to protect us, to sacrifice himself for us. Maybe you need a reminder or an acceptance of that relationship this morning. Maybe for some of you, you need the reminder of the call to goodness, to showing God's love in the world. A reminder to act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with him.